I was just out and about. Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast's Daily NBA Show, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast Daily NBA Show. It's Tuesday, March 15th, and we only have a four-game slate in the NBA, but I have three best bets, two sides, and one player prop. I went 2-2 yesterday. I feel like I'm fouling off pitches here in the middle of March, and March has got to be the time that we ramp it up here in the NBA betting calendar, because there's just wall-to-wall action in the NBA and in college hoops, in fact. So I'm struggling to keep my head above water this month. I am 19-11 in March, but again, just 2-2 yesterday. It was 7-7 last week, so hopefully we can start to turn it around and hit a real profit to in the second half of March. Again, I went 2-2 yesterday. I missed with the under 212.5 in the Los Angeles Clippers Cleveland Cavalier game. That was sort of a bad beat. It went to overtime, tied 106 or at 106. So it was 212 on the nose after 48 minutes. But the game was trending well over the total through the first three quarters. However, that's part of the reason why you like unders, or why I like unders, is you actually start out with the winning bet and things need to happen for the over to cash. So while it was trending over through the first three quarters, both those teams aren't very good offenses, the Clippers and the Cavaliers, and they're very good defensively. So that game, you know, was properly lined. I thought it was properly handicapped, and having the under 212.5 effectively hit in 48 minutes kind of makes me feel confident, or doesn't make me feel so bad about that loss. But it is a losing bet, and it goes down in the loss column for your boy. So next game we hit with was the Denver Nuggets plus 2.5 against the Philadelphia 76ers. They won 114-110. Embiid outscored Jokic 34 points to 22, but Jokic had more rebounds, plus 4 in the rebound column and plus 4 in the assist column. And then his team was plus 4 in the points column, which is the most important thing. So Nuggets money line got home. Nuggets plus 2.5 got home, and that was our second best bet. Our third best bet, we took the Jazz at home at plus 1.5 and ended up closing at, I think, minus 2 for the Jazz. So we got the right side of the number, but they lost at home to Milwaukee 117-111. Donovan Mitchell was out there chucking. Giannis played phenomenally. But, you know, Utah just couldn't get it home for us. They Bogdanovich, or one of the Bogdanoviches, ended up missing that game, which is a sneaky big loss for that team. Either way, that's a loser. Our second winner was the Toronto Raptors, covering 4.5 as they visited the Los Angeles Lakers. They beat them 114-103. That game really wasn't that close. Toronto started up ahead 26-4. So there was really no sweating that. That was a wire-to-wire cover and win for the Toronto Raptors. But we got three best bets in the Tuesday NBA slate. My three best bets are I'm taking the Memphis Grizzlies minus 6.5 at the Indiana Pacers. I'm taking the Phoenix Suns minus 4.5 at the New Orleans Pelicans. And I'm going with over Devin Booker for the Phoenix Suns, over 27.5 points. All those odds are provided by our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook, who is a global sports betting leader that's live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app, and get a special bonus by going to usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older to game. And please see Tipico's website for details. Also, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Okay, so on to our best bets. First one, Memphis Grizzlies minus 6.5 at the Indiana Pacers. John Morant was listed or is listed as doubtful on the injury report. It's trending like he's not going to play, but Indiana has a whole bunch of players on the injury report, including Miles Turner. Obviously, TJ Warren and TJ McConnell haven't been there for, in McConnell's case, most of the season, and Warren's case, the whole season. So they're already without three starters. They're incorporating the new Kings players that they acquired through the Domantas Sabonis trade, Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield. They've been there for 13 games and whatever, just kind of mixed results for Indiana. Their defense is absolutely terrible, and Memphis crushes bad defenses. That's the first handicapping angle I'm looking at here. Against bad defenses, Memphis is 15 and 6 straight up. They have a plus 10 adjusted net rating and a plus 3.3 ATS differential against teams that are in the bottom 10 of defensive efficiency. So that's the first thing that I'm looking at. Also, Memphis should beat Indiana with or without John Morant. This is going to sound surprising, but according to cleaningtheglass.com, which removes garbage time from its stat tracking, the Grizzlies actually score 1.6 points fewer points per 100 possessions when John Morant is on the court. So he's actually got a minus 1.6 adjusted on-off net rating, which is kind of surprising, right? Dylan Brooks returned, I think, the last game from Memphis. He's a Memphis shooting guard, small forward, ball handler, shot creator kind of guy. And he actually leads Memphis in adjusted on-off net rating at plus 7 points per 100 possessions. So I think the addition of Dylan Brooks definitely makes up or offsets the absence of John Morant in the spot. And the line is actually moving towards the Grizzlies, it would appear, despite Ja being listed as doubtful. Also, it's just a good spot for Memphis. They're 10-5 against the spread as road favorites, and they got a plus 2.8 ATS differential in those games. And they're also 16-6-1 against the number anytime they're laying more than 5 points. So I think the Grizzlies are just going to hammer Indiana, who's just been playing terribly on defense, is really banged up with or without John Morant. Let's lay the 6.5 points with the Memphis Grizzlies. And then the next game, again, there's only a 2-game slate here tonight. I actually lean towards the Miami Heat over the Detroit Pistons, which is priced at minus 13. I got to be honest, I'm a little gun-shy to give out a minus, on typical 12.5-point spread for the Heat. Publicly, I might end up on the Heat before that game tips off. But Cade Cunningham, who's Detroit's pretty much best player, he's a number one overall pick. I think he's going to be a franchise-altering player for Detroit. He's listed as doubtful or questionable on the injury report. And if he can't play, they're not the same team. And to me, like, Detroit has covered 9 of its last 10. And the last game that they played against the Clippers, they didn't cover as 3.5-point closing road dogs. The game ended 106-102, but that line started at 6.5, and most people who bet the Pistons actually profited in that game, or at least they should have. So what I'm getting at here is that I got a little like sticker shock or price shock when I saw, I don't know if that's the right term, but you know what I'm saying, when I saw the Heat favored 13 over the Pistons, given how tough the Pistons have been playing teams recently and how mediocre the Heat have been over the past like week or so, I've originally just gravitated towards the Pistons. But the Heat are I think 16-6 against the number following a loss. They just lost. And again, I just think like the price is so jarring. Like this is the most the Heat have been favored over the Pistons in their last 10 meetings. And this is probably the best version of the Pistons they've played over the last 10 meetings. And I actually have to go back and dig into that specifically, but the Pistons are trending up and seeing a 13-point line for them is kind of crazy. So I lean to the Miami Heat. I probably spent too much time analyzing a game I only had a lean for, but I just had to get that off my chest. The Heat are definitely the sharp side in that one, despite whatever the market may or may not say. But I'm not publicly going to give that out. I like two other plays here. in the New Orleans Pelicans Phoenix Suns game that the Pelicans are hosting the Suns in. I'm taking the -4.5 the Phoenix Suns. I'll talk about that first. Phoenix is 3-1 straight up in their last four. New Orleans is 1-4 straight up and against the spread in their last four. Phoenix is 2-1 straight up and against the number versus New Orleans this year. But New Orleans appears to me to be at least the fake sharp side. They beat the crap out of the Houston Rockets Sunday, but Houston sucks, and that was more of a that game was more Houston peeing down its leg than New Orleans really playing that well. Before that, they were 0-4 straight up and against the spread because they were missing Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum. Brandon Ingram's going to be out this game. He's dealing with a leg injury. CJ McCollum is set to return after spending some time in the health and safety protocols list. But the Pelicans just aren't the same team without Brandon Ingram. They score 12.1 fewer points per 100 possessions with Ingram off the floor. That's in the 96th percentile of wings. Ingram's legit playing like an all-NBA caliber forward, especially with the injuries in the NBA this year. If he stayed healthy, and the Pelicans kept winning games with him in the lineup, he might be able to play his way into the third team All-NBA forward slot. But with CJ McCollum, who is slated to return for the Pelicans tonight, he's putting up great numbers for the Pelicans, averaging 27 points per game in his 12 games since being acquired by the Pelicans. But those are kind of low impact numbers. Really what I mean is he has a -2.3 adjusted on-off net rating for New Orleans. So he's putting up points, but they're not really, you know, leading to his team winning or losing. And in fact, his team does worse despite CJ's scoring prowess. So if anyone's betting this game because CJ McCollum's returning and he's looked good for the Pelicans, I think that's a misnomer. And I think that that the misnomer provides some extra value on New Orleans. Also, Phoenix is in a revenge spot after taking a double-digit beatdown by New Orleans in their second game back from the All-Star break. Ingram and CJ McCollum combined for 60 points on 20 of 35 shooting, though, in that game. So Ingram isn't going to be back. CJ will. He put up 32 points. So I think consequence of that is that Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, is going to focus more of Phoenix's defensive bandwidth on stopping CJ McCollum, and CJ McCollum ultimately regresses this game and has a little less of an impact or has a worse scoring game. Also, this is a good spot for Phoenix in the sense that they're 14-9 against the number as a road favorite, and they're +4.8 ATS margin in those games. So I'm taking Phoenix -4.5. I'm not even sure what the market says on this. I don't really care because I broke it down in the ways that I just did, right? So I like the Phoenix Suns -4.5. And staying in this game, I'm taking over Devin Booker, 27.5 points. I think he's going to be motivated in his head-to-head with CJ McCollum, in which CJ McCollum outscored him 32 points to 30 in their last meeting, the New Orleans Pelicans Phoenix game, February 25th. Booker put up 30 points, but just shot 42% from the field goal from the field. But he has been balling without CP3 in his six games without Chris Paul in the lineup. Devin Booker is averaging 26.7 points per game, so it'd be technically under this projected point total, but his shooting is at 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 89% from free throw, so almost at that coveted 50-40-90 splits. He's also putting up 8.3 assists per game and 4.7 rebounds in his last six without Chris Paul, and he plays really well in New Orleans. Devin Booker is averaging 33 points per game in his last five games in New Orleans on 50% field goal shooting. So I like Booker to have a big game, get some retribution against CJ McCollum, who's kind of his contemporary, and CJ McCollum outscored him in the first matchup. I'm adding that to my bet slip along with Phoenix -4.5 at the New Orleans Pelicans, and we're laying 6.5 with the Memphis Grizzlies at the Indiana Pacers. That's it. That's your bet slip and NBA podcast. Always shop for the best numbers unless you're in Colorado and New Jersey. If you are in those states, check out Tipico Sportsbook. Do your own homework. Always keep up to date with the most, the latest injury reports. And best of luck whether you fade or follow me. Peace out.
Thought I'd see if anybody wants to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast Daily NBA Show featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.